Washington. This is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. Egypt answered a bloody machine gun attack on a bus carrying Coptic Christian pilgrims. On Friday, airstrikes were directed at terror bases in Libya where the militant Islamist gunmen were believed to have trained. Edward Uranian reporting now from Cairo, more than two dozen pilgrims were killed.
Egyptian media said the victims were pilgrims who were on a journey to the monastery of the Prophet Samuel, revered and visited by Coptic Christians across Egypt. A woman survivor told Egyptian TV from her hospital bed that the group's bus was ambushed by terrorists. She says that their bus was carrying around 40 pilgrims and that they were attacked by a group of armed men. Coptic Christians have been targeted in a number of recent terror attacks across Egypt, including two suicide attacks on Coptic churches in the Nile Delta town of Tanta and the port city of Alexandria. Nearly 50 people were killed in those attacks. Edward Uranian for VOA News, Cairo.
Washington Post newspaper is reporting that Jared Kushner, President Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor, discussed with Russia's ambassador to Washington possibility of setting up a secret communications channel between the Trump transition team and the Kremlin. Mr. Trump has repeatedly denied any collusion between his campaign team and Russia. U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee has requested that President Trump's political organization submit all Russia-related documents, emails, and phone records going back to 2015. There is a separate federal probe being also led by the U.S. Justice Department's special counsel. This is VOA News. While investigations continue into any connections between the Trump presidential campaign and Russia in the U.S., President Trump is in Sicily for the G7 summit. On day one, many topics were discussed, but climate change and trade were foremost on many of the attendees' minds. Donald Tusk, president of the European Council, spoke to some of those gathered.
It is no secret that leaders who are meeting today sometimes have very different positions on topics such as climate change and trade. But our role as the EU is to do everything to maintain the unity of the G7 on all fronts. Most importantly, unity needs to be maintained when it comes to defending the rules-based international order.
A White House statement issued on Friday said President Trump and Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe had reaffirmed their commitment to cooperate to the fullest extent possible to counter terrorist threats and have agreed to enhance sanctions on North Korea in an attempt to deter the development of North Korea's ballistic missiles and nuclear programs. Here's President Trump.
We'll be discussing many things, including, of course, North Korea, which is very much on our minds. We'll be discussing terrorism, but I think we will really be in particular focused on the North Korea problem. It's a big problem. It's a world problem. And it will be solved. At some point, it will be solved. You can bet on that.
That is President Trump. U.S. pop singer Ariana Grande says she will return to Manchester, England to play a benefit show to raise money for the 22 victims and families of this week's terrorist attack. Grande had just finished her show Monday night when a suicide bomber blew himself up in the crowded lobby of the Manchester Arena. Zbigniew Brzezinski, the national security advisor to U.S. President Jimmy Carter, has died. He was 89. His death announced on social media late Friday by his daughter, MSNBC host Mika Brzezinski. She called him the most inspiring, loving, and devoted father any girl could ever have. Brzezinski helped topple economic barriers between the Soviet Union, China, and the West, and he helped Carter bridge wide gaps between Egyptian and Israeli leaders, Anwar Sadat and Menachem Begin, leading to the Camp David Accords. In recent years, Brzezinski took part in proceedings designed to bring the former Soviet republics into NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Get more news at our website. You can find us at voanews.com. And we're always available on the VOA mobile app.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Welcome to another hour of the best of jazz, past and present, and conversation with four greats of jazz history who just happen to remember their boss, Miles Davis, as we celebrate his 91st birthday. Russ Davis here, welcoming you to another hour of Jazz America as we celebrate what would have been the 91st birthday of the late, great Miles Davis, born in 1926 on May the 26th. We'll celebrate Miles with more conversation with two artists who knew him well and worked with him, the great drummer Lenny White and the master keyboardist Chick Corea. But let's begin this hour of VOA's Jazz America with a celebration of another of the current greats of jazz who has a very important birthday himself. Charlie Hunter, the master of the 7- and 8-string guitar. Yes, he took the traditional 6-string guitar, decided he wanted to play bass, rhythm, and lead simultaneously, and for some crazy reason, remastered that guitar with 7 and/or 8 strings, depending on his mood, I suppose, at that time, what kind of music he wanted to make. And now he has that unique sound of simultaneously playing all 3 elements of guitar. Charlie Hunter turns 50 years old on the 23rd of May, and from his latest release, Everybody Has a Plan, here's his song entitled No Money, No Honey, to begin this hour of VOA's Jazz America. Happy 50th birthday, Charlie Hunter.
serenities we ascend as we please, and we'll be standing at those gates. Seven Steps Creed.
I gotta go.
The great vocalist Cassandra Wilson with just another celebration of Miles Davis. So many people have done that over the years. And in this case, she took his classic song, Seven Steps, and turned it into a great vocal piece from her album, Traveling Miles. Her salute to the great Miles Davis here on VOA's Jazz America. On the day that Miles Davis would have been 88 years old, 2014, the street that he lived on in New York City at 77th Street on the Upper West Side was renamed Miles Davis Way. After that event, a gala reception happened at the Harlem Club Minton's, and a number of those who knew and loved Miles gathered there. I had a chance to speak with some of those artists. On the day that Miles Davis would have been 88 years old, who do I run into? But someone who actually worked with him. We talked about him a few times. I just met your father, your wife, and your son. Lenny White is right here, man, inside Minton's for the celebration of Miles. Good to see you, my friend.
Good to see you too, man.
I know you've been busy as a bee doing your own stuff, producing other folks, but just before we talk quickly about that, just some thoughts about Miles Davis on the day of his 88th birthday.
The difference between Miles Davis and other iconic musicians, personally speaking, for me, is Miles was a hero. And to be able to participate in a street naming or a statue or whatever for somebody that I knew, that I was alive, that I played with, that I talked with, is interesting than having something posthumously done for somebody who is a historic figure that I never knew. But every time I drove by 77th Street, I always said that that was Miles Davis Way. When I was with somebody else in the car, I said, that's where Miles did. So now, everybody knows that that's Miles Davis Way, but it's always been Miles Davis Way for me.
Lenny, I'm going to let you go see everybody here. Just give me some thoughts about some of these recent projects. Doing a lot of producing these days. Some great, that Becca album is fabulous.
Yeah, you know, I try to stretch out as much as I can, you know, the language of jazz prepares you to do any kind of music in the world. There's a discipline that comes from playing this music that helps me interpret all the other kinds of music that I get involved with. And, you know,
gotcha.
That's the way it goes.
I don't know what Lenny White's having for lunch, but waiter, I'll have one of those because you look like about the same age as when you were playing with Miles on Bitches Brew, my friend. Good to see you.
Thank you, Russ. Always good to see you, too.
Thank you. Yeah. album Bitches Brew by Miles Davis that Lenny White joined with him for the first time. That's Spanish Key from that groundbreaking work. Now, here's some groundbreaking work from Lenny White himself, recorded live in Japan in 1997 from the album Live from 97. Here's his great composition, Wolfbane, on Jazz America from VOA 1.
Kelly, Patrice Rushen, Betty Maupin, Donald Blackman, Mark Ledford, Foley, yours truly, Lenny White. Becky, you've been a beautiful audience.
The great Lenny White, who certainly was honored to work with Miles Davis, one of the greats in his mind, and now he's one of the greats these days among great drummers and jazz musicians and band leaders and composers in general. That's his wonderful composition, Wolfbane, recorded live in Japan in 1997. More coming up as we talk to a gentleman that Lenny White has worked with quite a bit over the years in the band Return to Forever, Chick Corea, an associate of Miles Davis down through the years. He'll give us his Miles Davis story, and we'll hear some music they made together. But first,
I want to invite you to send me an email if you have a question, a comment, or maybe request for music. Whatever the case may be, I'd love to hear from you, and here is the email address to which you can write me. I'll give it to you twice, so write it down and get in touch. It's jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's Jazz America, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. Jazz America @voanews.com.
And here is a message I received that is mighty inspiring to read. It reads as follows. Russ, I've been following you since your show on VOA Jazz America on how Hurricane Katrina devastated New Orleans, and one of your other shows, Higher Grounds, featuring greats like John Coltrane, Duke Ellington, etc. Russ, you inspired me to like jazz, and I've loved it ever since. This is from Haruna Yabzai from Abuja, Nigeria. Well, thank you so much for that great message, and I hope I can inspire you with the music you're about to hear, Miles Davis. And we'll give you the full breadth of the styles incorporated in the music of Miles Davis and his 50-plus decades of high-level work. We'll begin with music from 1949, from the groundbreaking release Birth of the Cool, with other greats of jazz like Max Roach on the drums, Lee Konitz on alto sax, Jerry Mulligan on baritone sax, and, of course, Miles Davis on the trumpet. Here's the song Boplicity, and we'll follow that with his last recorded effort that blended hip-hop and jazz. Miles Davis from Birth of the Cool, Boplicity on Jazz America. Thank you.
Hello, you have no messages.
He's an old man, my old baby. Don't blow.
one of the very first, if not the very first, instances of the blending of hip-hop and jazz. That is Miles Davis from his last recorded effort with rapper Easy Mo B and the song Blow from the album from 1990, Doobop, recorded not very long before he passed away in the summer of 1991. Miles Davis, and preceding that, from 1949, from Birth of the Cool, Boplicity. How could two different pieces of music be so different and be made by the same person? That's the versatility and the scope of the vision, musically, of Miles Davis. Another of those with an equally broad vision of how to make jazz, Chick Corea, who learned a lot from Miles. Let's talk to Chick Corea now and then hear some of their collaboration here on VOA's Jazz America. Something you said a second ago, you said the writer finds the musicians, has the musicians in mind to make the music they want to make. I talked to Dave Holland about this one time. Why did Miles hear him at Ronnie Scott's and want him to come to New York, uproot his life and come and play with him? And he came. I said, did he ever tell you what it was he was looking for in you? Did he want English guys, you and McLaughlin? Now I'm asking you this, Chick. Did he ever tell you what it was that he... I know he wanted you to play electric piano, but did he ever say to you or in some way emote to you what it was that you had that he that would help him facilitate making manifest his musical ideas?
You know, Miles was a spiritual cook, meaning that he was fully aware that the effect of his music was the result of the quality of his band. As you saw, his Miles didn't compose songs that much, but undeniably every standard or composition from another that he got in his hands, he would rework to make it his own. Everything that came his way, but the first element that I feel that he was aware of that was the most valuable element were the musicians. That's why I call him a spiritual cook. Because it's spiritual chemistry that we're talking about. It's the chemistry between musicians and how they work together, and how they take his basic direction and basic idea and turn it into a work of art. So that's what he used. He didn't need to write things down on music paper, you know, as much as he knew he needed something, and so he would recognize that a musician had a certain quality, whatever it was, or a certain set of abilities, and then he was also had the courage to test things out, because you know guys would also come through his band and go out the back door. They come in the front door and out the back door, you know. Then there were guys that would stay longer in his famous groups, the one with Coltrane, Red Garlin, Philly Joe Jones, and Paul Chambers, right? Wow. The one with Herbie Hancock, Ron Carter, Tony Williams, and Wayne Shorter, and on and on. So I think that was the operation. That was the method, that the basic method that he used to produce the brilliant art that he did.
And here's some of that brilliant art created by Miles Davis with, by his side, on electric keyboards, Chick Corea. It's About That Time from In a Silent Way on Jazz America from VOA 1. Thank you. Korea, with a cut from his album My Spanish Heart, entitled Armando's Rumba. And considering all of that Latin-flavored music that's come from him over the years, that's an expansive Spanish heart. Chick Corea, just one of the greats who learned lots of lessons from Miles Davis. We've celebrated Miles Davis's 91st birthday on the 26th of May on this edition of VOA's Jazz America. And this is Russ Davis, hoping you've enjoyed the music. We could have gone on with comments from other artists and the music of Miles for hours and hours. Join me next week for more of the best of jazz, past and present, and conversation with the music makers on Jazz America.